Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. The Dream Team is back. Okay, we got my man, Greg Romero Wilson, one of the people in the history of life. I was actually watching some of old Kamikaze comedies last night, and they hold up. They actually, because I've been posting them up, the ambush stand-up. I've been putting them on TikTok, you know? The one I put on Theo Von, I put up like 10 hours ago, 500,000 hits.
Theo Von, I mean, yeah, Theo Von's exploded in that time.
But mine be getting 100,000, yours doing really well, like Shang's, like I think I'm just too ahead of my time, bro. I think I'm just too ahead of my time because now all of a sudden.
Well, that can happen. I mean, timing's everything, you know, and sometimes a project just, the space isn't ready for it until a certain amount of time. So exactly. It's not an idea that was a bad idea. You know, I feel the same way about my stand-up comedy battle show that I will get it made at some point. It's just a matter of timing, you know?
No, I mean, look, I mean, I've sold the show a couple times. I wouldn't have sold it. Every network I sold it to went under, like after buying it. It's not a good
thing. Well, you know what, Adam? It's actually refreshing to see your stand up on TikTok because TikTok, like, it goes through like these trendy phases. And right now, it's in a weird sexual trendy phase where it's like a bunch of girls talking about sex. Like, they'll have like a thing that says, you know, when you queef after you get banged. And it's like, it's weird. Like, every other TikTok for me is like a weird sex TikTok, like an informational parody type thing.
And you know, if I could just chime in here really quickly, I gotta say, I do not want to be on TikTok till just now, Joe. I gotta tell you, I'm launching my channel. Because you're right, it does seem like it's just everyone doing the same thing over and over, like the dance video thing. I'm like, how many of these dance video things? It was the lip sync thing for a long while. So it just seems to be like one thing after another and just everybody does it.
Yeah.
And so now you're telling me it's girls just talking nasty. Well, it sounds like, again, life is timing and it feels like the time is right.
I mean, for me to get
on TikTok. That's it.
Ween Dog says it's sexually weird, it's sexually weird. I mean,
the weird thing is that it's every girl doing it. That's what's weird about it. It's like a trend to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Well, go ahead, Adam.
Well, I've been on TikTok and the things that I like, I'm actually watching are pretty cool. Are like, they'll have like old footage of like Tupac and like back in the day with Snoop, or they'll have like backstage of Guns N' Roses in 1988 videos that I've never seen. So I'm actually like, this is actually pretty cool. So those, but anyway, Greg, what were you saying?
Oh, I was going to say, I forgot now. I lost the thought. Sorry. I thought I still had it. Then I was like, what was I going to say? I don't know.
All good. Well, I had a crazy weekend. So I flew to Vegas to do a show called Watch Party. It's going to be on Fight Pass. Basically, they flew me to Vegas to watch a fight with Forrest Griffin. And they like.
Sounds pretty dope.
Did they give me like private jet, which is unbelievable. Limo. I mean, right, obviously, the limo goes right to the hospital, which is the wrong hospital, and the guy was an hour late. But regardless, I was still in a good mood as far as picking me up. I'm like, I'm not even going to, you know, it was still.
Wait, wrong hospital? What are you talking about?
I had to get COVID test right when I land.
Oh, okay.
And the guy went to the wrong, the guy went like a half hour out of the way. Anyway,
I'm like, dude, are you mixing up stories here?
No, and he picked me up at like the wrong airport. Like he went to like Vegas McCarran. I was at a private jet. So I'm like, all right, we're off to a bad start. But it was still awesome. And then I had to put me in a hotel and I'm like, hey, can I go get a charger? I forgot my charger. And the security was like, is he allowed to leave? Like, they were really quarantining people. Like, what did I get myself into? But when I actually got to watch the fight with Forrest, who's great. Forrest is like, because he's so dry and he's kind of a curmudgeon. Like, he's sort of letting, and I would make jokes. And I had some pre-planned jokes, but I also had, like, jokes, like, in the moment jokes. But I wanted to make sure that they had stuff to cut to, because I watched it, and like, you can't have everybody they cut to go, oh, it's just like, you know, so I wanted to make sure I had some zingers, but every time I did a zinger, he'd be like, bum bum, or he'd be like, oh, that was funny. I'm like, thanks, Forrest, for fucking setting me up. And then I'm like, like, you're the best.
It's like just, it's literally like a show with just you and a heckler.
Basically.
And the heckler can kill you.
But I had a great time, and I thought we actually worked really well together. Like, I was laughing. I'm like, thanks, Forrest. Nothing like you tell me that's funny and not just actually laughing. Like, there was a lot of that back and forth. But it was
awesome. You call it heckler and the kid.
But it was fun. And me and Forrest worked really well together. And I got him pretty good, because a couple times there was some knockouts and he ran out of the room. And I'm like, is that what you do every time you lose? You just run out? So I got him good a bunch of times. He was a good sport, and that was awesome. So, like, I mean, they flew me up to Vegas to watch a fight and paid me with Forrest Griffin. I mean, like, how much better could that get, you know? So I was really, really happy. He told me some funny stories about how he, you know, I remember Stephen Bonner told me they gave him Tim Boesch or John Jones, a choice to fight. And his corner, his team told him that Jones was the easier fighter, because no one heard of John Jones back then.
Right.
So Forrest got him ready for it. And he was like, this is not the guy we prepared Bonner to fight. He goes, Bonner was fighting John Jones, and he said he got hit with a spinning back elbow. And it was one of those things where he got hit so hard, he goes, he thought somebody from the crowd threw a shoe at him or hit him in the head. And he was looking around, because that's how much he didn't see the shot coming. He was thought like somebody threw a rock at him or something. And like, that was like, so it was crazy. He told me so many funny stories like that. Babe, you're like, you don't know your phone? All right, so.
Just stay there. I'm
looking
for it.
Okay, I love getting yelled at via my podcast. Okay, so anyway, all right. People, so that was Greg left. I just walked the room with the story. So far, we're off to a great start. Don Fry and McCorkle. Something is ringing in here, babe. All right. So let's talk about what went down, though, over the weekend. Obviously, let's talk about Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier. I could not have been happier for Dustin Poirier. I was so thrilled for Dustin. I think he's, when it comes to like being a better person, a good person, a nicer guy, a better role model, just a humanitarian. It was like the good guy won. Not that Connor's a bad guy, but he's had enough antics, enough actions where you're like, okay, can please. At the same time, it was funny when he was talking shit. Like Dustin, and I think I almost feel like Dustin was talking shit to himself to get himself motivated. It wasn't even about Connor. It was like, let me get through that first round. He was talking shit to Connor, but it was really, as long as he got past that first round, I feel like that was the big struggle there, you know? And he did. Yeah. He actually got past the first round. Now my phone's ringing. Great. I was super, super thrilled about that. People are saying Connor's done. I think that's complete bullshit. I mean, look at what Connor's done in his life. I mean, who he's beat. I mean, everyone, the thing I hate about MMA fans is that, a lot of them at least, is that you're only as good as your last fight. People, like, they seem to forget what you've done. And Conor McGregor, who destroyed Eddie Alvarez, Jose Aldo, has a win over Nate Diaz, went over Poirier, went over Max Holloway, went over Cowboy Cerrone. I mean, the list of guys he's beaten and how he beaten them is incredible. So let's not sleep on that. And when it comes to all-time greats, I have him in my all-time great list. I don't have him.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's already established.
Maybe bottom 10. I don't think he's in the top three, top four, but he's in my top 10 list. Especially if you want to factor in steroids. So then you got John Jones and Anderson Silva, some of those guys even out of the equation there. Now, where does Conor go next? I feel like Nate Diaz is the fight to make. They're both coming off losses.
Everyone will pay to see it.
People are going to pay to see it. The trash talk is there. People are also not sure how much they have left, you know? So I think that's the fight to make. Wean Dog and Greg, thoughts on the fights?
Personally, hey, I think, he's not done, but we have to accept the fact that the Conor McGregor of old does not exist anymore, because this guy just doesn't fight as often. He's just not as engaged. Now, could he be that guy again? Absolutely. But I think he would have to become a full-time fighter again, which I just don't believe he is. He's a Mr. Retire, unretire, retire. That is exactly how you wind up getting beat by Dustin Poirier. And I said, this wasn't going to be the gimme fight that they gave him last time with Cerrone. This guy was coming in to beat his brakes off. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, because this guy's a fighter, still fighting, still in shape, still focused, still training every day. Conor McGregor is a whiskey salesman more than he is a fighter these days. And that's not to denigrate what he's done in the past. That's who he is right now. And again, I will say that doesn't mean he couldn't return to form, but it would require him becoming a full-time fighter once again. And that's just not who he is. That's just not who he is right now.
Oh, I think he will for sure fight Nate Diaz for the trilogy fight in the future, but I think he wants to have this Dustin Poirier rematch right away. And I think a lot of fans will, like maybe the casual fans would prefer that because he fought Nate Diaz like 4 years ago in their second fight, right? So the Dustin Poirier trilogy would be a lot fresher for the casual fans. And, you know, a lot of people were just barely introduced to Dustin Poirier this past weekend. So I think that would be the proper fight to make if you're Conor McGregor. And, you know, Conor, he calls his shots. But I think we really got to talk about Dustin because this dude is the champion. I don't care what anybody says. He's the goddamn champion. The UFC fucked up by not having this a title fight. I mean, I think waiting on Khabib, you know, Khabib should have just said, like, you know what, fuck these meetings with Dana White. I'm not fighting. But, you know, it sucks for Dustin, but I think he has to be the champ right now. No questions asked.
I agree with that too, especially since once they've said he's retiring. I mean, why would you? Yeah. I mean, he said the words. That's it then. The crown's open. You don't get to like hold on to see if he really meant it. You get to quit a job and then they just sit there like, well, we don't want to hire anybody else yet. He said he quit, but we made it. No, fuck that. Especially, I mean, don't get me wrong. They had those meetings. He will fight again. But right now, he hasn't committed to fight again. Right now, he is officially retired. This, I 100% agree with you. It should have been a title fight.
I think they at least could have done a tournament where it was like, have those four, the Chandler, Hooker, and those four, and then the winners fight each other for the, like, they should have been something more official for that. Something, because it was like, it is a little weird because you could almost say, well, Chandler, because, you know, I mean, I don't think it's weird. And then you have Charles Oliveira, who's right there, who also, you could argue,
looks fantastic lately.
You could argue is in that. I mean, a couple of things also. Number one, stop with the memes about the guy getting knocked out. Okay. Or don't tag me or ask me to retweet it. I don't post when people get knocked out. I don't like it. Someone's just laying there unconscious. I understand you think it's funny to have, you know, Bernie Sanders there, whoever. But just, guys, I'm not into it. You know, it's just not something. The only time I've ever had fighters get mad at me was when they made fun of the fact when they got knocked out or lost. And I learned my lesson. That's not really what I'm about, you know. So, you know, I'm not saying it's not funny. I'm not saying it's not comedy. It's just not something that I want to do. Okay, so thank you.
There was a big like corporation I saw on Instagram that posted a picture of McGregor knocked out on the ground. They had like some caption. I'm like, this is like an actual major organization, a big company. I forgot which one it was, but I was like, I was very surprised that they did it.
I think that tells you that company hired some 20 something to do their social media and has stopped paying attention and just letting him post whatever the fuck he wants. And now they're like, oh shit, what did he post? They probably don't even know what it meant when he posted.
No, so some of the things people wrote. First of all, there was a video of Jake Paul laughing. Jake Paul, I actually liked him for a second when he beat Nate Robinson. I'm like, this guy seems like a humble dude. But every minute I've seen of this dude afterwards, because after he beat him, he's like, the guy was tough, he was strong, give him credit. Is him laughing, okay, going, aha, you know, I'm going to give you $10,000 or a Bitcoin, or a third of a Bitcoin to fight. You fucking bum. You got beat up by a bum. Like, why are you calling Poirier a bum? Like this is your thing now to be like the guy everybody hates. Like, that's like, he's not likable enough to pull that off. Like, I mean, the guy makes Colby Covington look like Steve Harvey. I mean, he's beyond unlikable. I don't get it. Now that being said, it came out today that Jake Paul is boxing Ben Askren in April.
So dumb.
Can we discuss that later, please?
Okay, after all right, let's
cover the fights.
Okay, all right.
Because that is going to be its whole other conversation. So let's do the fights first.
So Nate Diaz tweeted out, these guys get finished all the time. And then he goes, about to whoop your ass next, Dustin Poirier. Be about it, don't talk about it. To which Justin Gaethje wrote, that's all you do is talk. And then he goes, you and Dustin Poirier got choked on your face the other day by a guy that ran off and didn't want none, especially with me. That's what Nate wrote. He goes, how are you going to fight for a title? I've been here 14 years. And no one could do me like that ever in life. And then Khabib wrote, well, it might have been Ali Abdulaziz. I'm pretty sure it was him. This is what happens when you change your team, leave the sparring partners who made you a champion and sparring with little kids far away from reality. McCorkle, what are your thoughts on the McGregor fight versus Poirier?
I made some money on it, man. It went kind of the way I was thinking it would go. Are you guys able to see me?
Yeah.
Yes.
You actually,
and you actually look scarier than ever.
Okay. You actually have to have like two things up.
Yeah, my thing went blank. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if I'm using phone or what here. Anyway, yeah, no, it went about the way I made some big money on it. I bet Poirier pretty heavy, about $500. So I was pretty sure if Poirier would was mentally strong enough, he would win, because the way he's looked his last couple, man, has just been amazing skill-wise. The thing with Khabib said the same thing. If he makes it out a round and a half, he would win the fight. And that's what I thought. If he could get over that mental hump, man, where guys are so afraid of Conor McGregor, it's crazy. I think Khabib's the only one who doesn't look intimidated by him. Maybe it's all the shit he talks beforehand, you know, that they don't want to – I don't know. They were never scared of me when I talked shit beforehand, but it works for him. So, yeah, but it went about the way I thought it would. I thought it would go longer. So.
Well, what's crazy is that Conor kept his left hand down. Like, and I'm watching the fight with Forrest, and I'm like, he keeps getting countered with his left hand. I mean, he keeps getting countered over and over. And then he got knocked out with the hand from Poirier. Like, his hand was like by his knee. And like you were saying, Greg, I think that the days of being a part-time fighter are over. Dustin Poirier stays in the gym.
So yes.
Even the year that Conor took off to box Mayweather did not help his mixed martial arts. It helped his boxing, helped his bank account. But I think you're right. I think that these guys, they want to like, oh, I'm going to go train. I'm going to stop training. I'm going to go train hard. And it's like, you can't, it used to be able to do that. Maybe John Jones could do that. He might be the only guy, or a style bender if you have like that level of talent. But I don't know. I just feel like you're right.
I think even with John Jones, even in the last day, he just didn't look as dominant when he was in there full time fighting. He was so incredibly dominant, and you don't see that anymore. Right. You know, that kind of definitive, that where it's like it seems worlds apart. You haven't seen it anymore because they're not full time fighters. So, and I that's exactly. I mean, that's what I feel.
McCorkle, thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're right, man. I think all the time about think about how different Chad Mendez's life might have been if he was in shape when he fought Conor, you know, in their fight, because he was coming in, he only had 10 days, I think, to train. But can you imagine, because he was dominating the fight until he gassed. So if he had been in shape at that time, I'm sure he kicks himself every day thinking, if I'd just been in shape, you know, still training, ready to take that fight. Or even Masvidal versus, I don't know, it would have made that much of a difference against Usman, but if Masvidal was in shape, when he took that fight last minute with Usman, it could have been a lot different too, man. You know, and it just, I never, like, and I was the best fighter by any means, but I never got out of shape, man, until I got hurt, obviously, when I hurt my back. But up until then, when the whole time I was in the UFC fighting in Bellator, fighting KSW, I was in shape year round. Like, I trained every day as if I had a fight coming up, because you just never know what's coming up, especially nowadays in UFC. It's everything short notice, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's how the big opportunities happen.
So I remember coaching a kid wrestling. And he was like the heavyweight in our team, this like Jack Black kid. And I was like, hey, man, I was trying to get him to stay on the team. This is about what I was coaching. And he's like, I don't know, man. He goes, because it was in high school. He goes, the guys that wrestle are just these fat, gross guys. And I hate having to like touch them. He goes, I don't mind going right. like a fit guy, but just all that fat lard on me. Is that something you have to deal with, being as big as you were, just huge guys laying on
I think
you?
My wife has said something similar.
Yeah. I wasn't a – he stole my joke. I was going to say my girlfriend says it all the time.
Sorry, buddy.
And then plus she has to wrestle with me too. No, yeah. So she's wrestling with other guys. All right, so the thing, man, I remember one time it was kind of weird and gross. I was wrestling with Tom Erickson, and he actually let me start on top for once. We were rolling, not wrestling. He let me start on top, and he had been wearing me out before that, so I was sweating profusely. And I remember a drip of sweat trailed from the top of my head all the way down my forehead, down to my nose, and went into his wide open mouth as he was taking a breath. And it must have, it's like the size of a shot, you know, like a, he's had to be an ounce of sweat. Just went 8 ounces. Into his mouth. And I remember he gagged for a second. And I remember thinking, yes, I finally got him. But no, it didn't work out well for me after that. But it's, I was never, I fought guys before that stunk, man. Like literally stunk in the cage. Like you would be on him. Like, man,
that makes me gag, dude. Serious. My eyes are watering right now. The more I think about it, the more I want to throw up.
Stop thinking about it, man. That's hilarious. Watching you really get into that, that was a hilarious, like, it just evolved. Watching Weed Dog over here, like, it started with him just like,
I think that happens all the time in jiu-jitsu, though.
I think it does. I think it happens a lot with blood, too. With the, yeah. You see it on camera, the blood spilling into somebody else's mouth, you know?
Man,
I was fighting a guy that was real...
Go on.
You there? I was going to say, I was fighting a guy one time that was so... This was the days before we had blood tests, you know, like any kind of HIV or herpes or whatever they test you for. In those days, I remember tasting blood really heavily in my mouth during a fight. And I thought, man, I hope I'm cut. Because if it's this guy's blood, I don't want it in my mouth. And I remember pushing back up off him the clinch and I saw his eye was cut. It was just pouring. So I was like, oh, that was a mouthful of that nasty looking dude's blood I got in my mouth. So that was, like I said, no tests, pre-fight, no anything. Those were in the old days. So,
One year, we were having a costume party and I guess I went as like some kind of a baby. So I'm like in a diaper most of the night. and a buddy of mine was dressed in like a toga kind of a thing. And, you know, we were all dancing, partying, raging, having a great time. People were taking pictures. And so, you know, he put his arm around me and was like, hey, you know, but it was like his bare ass arm. And what happened was he got his sweat all over my shoulder. But I didn't really notice till I went to the bathroom to try and do some blow. And I went like this to do some blow. And when I inhaled it, I also inhaled the smell of his sweat on my shoulder. And it grossed me out so fucking bad. I almost blew the coke everywhere. I was like, it was awful. So that's as close as I've gotten to that.
Kind of a couple times, like after sex, you look down and like the girl, her period is not really over. And
oh
like,
yeah! Oh
like,
yeah!
Like just blood all over your shaft. Or your
like matted into your pubes and shit.
Ugh. Yeah, but that's, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of a badge of honor.
Yeah.
In some ways, you know.
Well, yeah, in a small way, it's a success story.
Success story.
Especially
you did it. You got in there. What's that?
Especially if you're on a period. Thank you, Sean.
Especially if they weren't on their period to begin with.
Oh, God. That you just,
oh, there you go.
Go back to the fights.
All right. So, Michael Chandler, I was so happy for this dude. This dude came to my show 10 years ago with his fiance at the time. And I feel like he always felt like he was like the captain of the JV team. Not that Bellator is JV. It's not.
It is.
Obviously. But I feel like there's always like he felt like, oh, I'm an MMA fighter. How many times has he told people I'm an MMA fighter? And they go, UFC? And then he goes, no, Bellator. And the look of their faces are probably like, huh? You know, just the casual. I'm not talking about the people that not, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. It's like,
yeah.
Even in LA, I'm like, oh, I'm at this. Oh, you're at the comedy store? No, I'm at the. They look at you like I'm not a comedian. It's just, it's always got to be like that, you know, but even like that. So the fact that like when Chandler got his opportunity, and rose to the occasion. I mean, Dana White even said he's never seen anybody have that type of debut like in the UFC. And I'm happy. Look, the guy's a big time guy. He's a 4-time All-American wrestler. He was the Bellator champion like 3 different times. He's not a guy that just is going to fold under pressure. This is not, no disrespect to CM Punk or James Toney or as these other guys that like, you know, we're kind of, you know, masters of their domain who came over that just were like, what the fuck's going on? Or Nate Robinson. This is a guy that's been there, done that. I was super happy. And it's funny because I told Forrest, I go, watch Chandler knock him out in the first round. And it just, boom. Like, and Hooker looked off. Dan Hooker.
Yes.
He looked like, I don't know. He's one of those guys that doesn't make excuses. And he seems like a really nice man of his word, but if it was somebody else, you might hear, yeah, I had 103 that day, or I tore my shoulder, or my ankle rolled, or something was off. That was not the Dan Hooker.
Absolutely.
In the past. Sean McCorkle.
Yeah, I actually bet heavy on Chandler too, man. I thought, I thought he would win. He's a really mentally tough guy, man. And I thought he would win. And I was thinking, I had him earlier. I wanted to say, you know, when you said you tell people you're at the Dime or, you know, comedy, not the Comedy Store, and they feel like you're not a comedian. Brendan Schaub tells people he is at the Comedy Store, and they still feel like he's not a comedian.
Boom! Boom roasted.
Dude, even when I go, I was on the Tonight Show. Oh, would Jimmy Fallon? No, Leno. They go, oh, there's a look of like disappointment. Like, it's like, no matter
it's
what.
It's still not you do, a giant achievement to do the Tonight Show.
Like, no matter what you do, it's always. So I could only imagine him saying Bellator to the average person, and they're like, oh, but I don't watch. The same person who goes, I don't watch MMA, I watch UFC. You know, like, it's just people don't understand it. You know, they go, they think the UFC is the sport, not the brand, yada, yada. So I remember I had one time an hour argument because a lady was like, I don't like MMA, I like UFC. And I would try, and she was obviously like a really a hot girl that no one ever corrects because right. they're probably trying to like sleep with her or whatever. So I had to like inform her, but then I just gave up because I was trying to tell like six dudes, hey, can you guys, you know, NFL is the brand, like football is the sport. MMA is the sport, UFC is the brand. And they were like, huh? And they were just trying to fuck her. So they were like, these guys were all being like, dude, you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm out. So what were your thoughts on Chandler Gray?
Well, I mean, it was surprising. I first of all, it's great for Chandler because he got to really showcase that he doesn't just belong there, but he's there to do some damage. I thought that part was amazing, but Dan Hooker did look completely out of sorts. He looked overwhelmed from the get-go. And, you know, now that you mentioned saying something like, I had 103 fever, I could see there being something else wrong because he did seem like he was in deep water from the jump. It was very weird, the look in his eyes. I was very surprised.
There are so many times, some guys just won't come out and say it. I've literally talked to fighters. I knew a guy who fought John Jones who told me that like he couldn't move his neck at like 4 a.m. and they gave him like 3 painkillers before the fight. And he never actually talked about like what, but then looking back at that fight, I'm like, that makes total sense. Like it looked like you were on 3 Vicodins for that fight. There are so many guys that like, you know, you're getting all this money. I mean, you're getting $100,000, $200,000. If you pull out the day of the fight, everyone's gonna be mad at you. You can't pay your trainers, you can't pay your coaches, you can't the family. It's all kinds of shit. And you know, the back of your head, you're like, you know what, even me at 60% is still gonna win this. Or you've done enough where you're like, you know, sometimes I fight better when I'm hurt. You know, I mean, sometimes Greg,
right,
even as a comic, there's so many times like you pull up to the gig late, you run on stage, and you're the best set of your life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had some of my best sets in Vegas on Sunday.
Yeah.
When I'm the most hungover, the most exhausted, the most worn out, and something magical happens, and I'm like, wow, this is going great.
Sean McCorkle, and he went to a diner. He couldn't walk from the car to the diner without like me helping him. Like literally helping him. That day, I had to go to the marijuana dispensary. He gave me $400 to buy marijuana edibles for him and CBD products.
And he got $238 worth.
He was fighting in 4 days. He's fighting a guy. I go, dude, you can't walk to the diner. You're going to fight? He's like, all I got to do is land the punch, man. All I got to do is land the punch. cut to 4 days later, I'm like, Sean, man, keep your head up, man. I'm sorry. you're like, dude, I couldn't even. Am I right, Sean? I mean, you believed that you were gonna win that fight, right?
Yeah. Usually I thought I was gonna win. I thought I was gonna lose against Solo Pelele just because I knew how good he was. And even my agent, Monty Cox, said it. I said, how do you like my chances, Monty? He goes, they're not good. And I said, well, what if I come in really good shape and everything? He goes, yeah, not good. So I knew I was going to lose that one. And he went on to run through like 5 guys in the UFC after that. Plus his steroids were way better than mine. But I fought to make excuses now later. I fought Mariusz Pudzianowski with literally a dislocated rib. I went into the fight with it completely dislocated, sticking out of its joint. They call it subluxation, I think, or something. Tom Erickson had pulled it out of joint for me before the fight, 3 days before, and it was the main event. I couldn't pull out. It's 20,000 people there. I wasn't going to pull out, and I didn't want him to know if I'm going to fight hurt. I didn't want to give him any confidence. So, yeah, I went out there, performed like shit, and then got trashed by everybody in the business. But I did want to say, assuming you guys can hear me still, you remember you were talking about how people say they don't recognize UFC, like, or just UFC, not Bellator. When the UFC offered me a contract, I initially said no. And then they offered me a little more money. And I said, well, who am I going to fight? And they said, well, it'll be another first-time UFC guy, whoever it is. And I was like, okay, so you're not like feeding me the wolves. Like, oh, no, another first-time UFC guy. And then they sent me a contract for Mark Hunt. And I called Joe Silva at the time. I said, hey, is that like Mark Hunt from Iowa? That's not the guy from K-1, right? Like in Pride. He goes, yeah, but it's his first time in the UFC. I didn't lie to you. Okay, pretty slick. So,
oh, my God.
Yeah, that was what they pulled on me.
So Don Fry is here. Don, how are you, man?
I'm good, darling. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you.
I feel like he just threw 10 singles on you as he fucking walked out.
Dude, you are the funniest person alive, man. We have to keep you alive, Don. You really are. Like, yeah. I feel like if anything ever happened to Don, people would like go through all his old videos. And then there'd be t-shirts with Don Fry's image on them on Urban Outfitters. He really is like the last remaining man, like man, you know, like everyone else, we're men, but he's like a different kind of man. So Don, what were your thoughts on
that's what all my ex-wives say too, buddy.
Yeah. Listen, his steel cutouts are actually made of steel.
So, Don, what were your thoughts on the Conor McGregor fight?
Hurt my feelings, you know. Broke my little bitty heart, you know, if I had one. I just, just feel like Conor wasn't there. But, you know, shit, Justin was 1 point. You know, he was looking sharp. And if Khabib was waiting for one of those guys to make a statement, Justin did it, man. He made a statement. He beat Conor worse than Khabib did, you know? So, shit. He had a statement. He had to come back and fight Justin.
Dustin. Now, do you think the mystique of Conor's gone? I mean, I think people realize if you get out of the first period, you could actually beat him? First round?
You know, I think he got one more fight, one more chance to beat that illusion, you know? And if it happens again, yeah, the mystique will be gone. But I think there's still enough Conor there to pull it out of the trick bag, you know?
I mean, now he was served with two lawsuits for $20 million each by two women the week of the fight.
To be clear, they were a mother-daughter team.
Yeah, a mother-daughter team. So. Like sexual assault or it was something.
Oh, bullshit. You know, Conor, like I said, Conor needs to hire a bodyguard to protect himself, you know, to keep him in line.
All right, that's your opinion. That's the Don Fry opinion of the lawsuit. Now,
Don Fry is going to start the hashtag believe no women.
You're damn right. They're all lying. They're all lying whores.
All right. All women are not lying whores. Okay. That's not.
Make a note of the time.
All women are not lying whores. Now, as far
every
as.
Every woman's lying whore except your mother.
Okay, except my mother. that might be the only one that's the lying whore, actually. Now, as far as
in your case, okay, 12:34.
Now, do you think Conor's next fight should be against Nate Diaz? Because they're both 1-1, both coming off losses. We're trying to figure out, you know, you think that's the fight to make?
Yeah, I think that would be a good fight to make. I mean, hell, the storyline's already there for him. You just said they're 1-1, they're coming off a loss, you know, to see who can redeem themselves and get back into the game.
McCorkle, who do you
good money fight. Both those guys come to fight, you know, they bring it every time. And so it's gonna be a good money fight when the UFC puts that on.
Sean, thoughts?
I mean, I think Diaz McGregor is the fight to make. I can't help but think when I hear Don Fry talk, like, you know how I told that story about dripping sweat into Tom Erickson's mouth and him choking on it? I think Don was like grappling with the Sandman and a bunch of sand dripped down into his throat, and that's what happened to his voice. I don't know.
Dude, Don, like, literally when he was a baby would cry, wah, wah.
I never cried.
Oh, sorry.
He never cried. He just needed more whiskey in his bottle.
No, you actually cried. Don.
Give me a nipple. Give me a nipple.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, we're on to Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler, man, he really backed up all his talk. You know what? I liked his promo because he made two promos. The first one was like, thank you. I love my family. You guys are great. And then he went into character, the next promo, and he's like, motherfucker. Well, it was almost like a director said, all right, we need two different takes on this. We need like the regular take and then the psycho. I think we got to make Chandler Poirier. That has to be the fight to make. And Oliveira gets.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's got to be the fight to make. And maybe Tony Ferguson, Connor, if Connor doesn't fight Nate Diaz. That's another fight you can make right now.
That'd be a great war.
Chandler looked outstanding. Chandler brought it too, you know.
But they got to stop with the backflips. That's, I mean, Dana White even says,
yeah,
someone's gonna break their fucking ankle, break their knee. Why are we doing these backflips?
It's a barbed wire at the top of the octagon.
They want to get a job for, when they retire. They want to go to work in Vegas or Cirque du Soleil, you know.
Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil.
Personally, I stopped doing backflips after my fights a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. All right, another fight that happened. Jessica I versus Joanne Calderwood. You know, I got to give Joanne Calderwood credit because her husband, I think her fiance, John Wood, is her trainer. Yeah. And this dude, I've known John forever. He was the biggest playboy in the history. He dated Jenna Jameson before her. He dated Colleen Schneider, who's a fighter. Amber, who's now married to Tito Ortiz, who used to be a UFC ring girl, and this girl reeled him in. So if anything else, like she's got the magic touch. Maybe the girl that you're training is the one to like, you know, you can't, but what would your wife say to you if she was training you, Sean, like during your fights?
My wife or my girlfriend?
At like the time, your ex-wife.
Oh, she used to always tell me, like, if we were fighting, that she hopes I get my ass kicked. That's why we were together. And then after we split up, she used to tell me that she hopes I get my ass kicked. So it was pretty much the same.
All right. And then, Don, what would your ex-wife tell you during your fights?
I keep my hands down, my chin up.
And then, Greg, what would your fiance tell you?
I'm married.
Oh, yeah.
And coming up on my second year of marriage there.
Right, right.
What would she tell me? She'd probably just be like, stay as long as you want. I like it quiet.
My wife probably yell at me for looking at like the ring girls. They're like, you better not be looking at the ring girls.
Oh, for sure your wife would. She would. She would be like, I see you looking at her. I see you looking at her.
Sean,
my wife would be reading and not even know there was a fight.
What was that, Sean?
The best advice any woman could give any of us, be it comedian or fighter, is don't perform like Brendan Shaw. That's
what there it is. Boom. That's two.
Now, with Jessica I don't know what happened to her wrestling. She was like, I feel like the best way to beat Calderwood is wrestling because the girl's a striker, a really good striker. And Jessica I, during some fights, she was wrestling was like fucking legit. And it just seemed like she got away from it. I don't know. And she had a wrestling coach in her corner. It made no sense. I think sometimes these girls and guys too, they want to prove a point that they're the better striker. And they never want to concede that maybe they're not in round two or round three and go to plan B. Don, do you ever have that problem?
No, I never had any problem when I was fighting, man. I tell you, I kept watching Jessica's legs, man. She's got some great looking legs on her. Yeah, so I don't know what was going above the waist, but man, I was watching them legs. They look good. That's what I was thinking, you know, they're in a skirt, some high heels, you know, some stilettos. She can make some money, you know.
All right, thank you, Don, for that.
Don, the magic wand.
He's just thinking about her post-fight career options.
That's it. Give her some legal advice, you know.
It'll be stay away from Don Fry. She has an OnlyFans account, by the way. She has an OnlyFans, so Don, you might want to look into that.
She's about to make a little bit more. She's going to about to make the equivalent of Don's IRA account.
Speaking of which, I talked to Mayhem Miller. His trial got moved to March. He's very nervous because he turned down a 4-year plea deal, and he's looking at a long time. But I think he'll be okay. I told him, you know, stay up.
I'm sorry. How did Jessica I's OnlyFans account lead to the update on his prison sentence?
As he was saying, you said legal advice. So
thank you. That does actually connect the dots for me, because it's like Jessica got great legs. Oh yeah, she has an OnlyFans account. Speaking of which, Mayhem is facing a very long sentence. I'm like, the fuck? How did we connect these two statements? Okay, so Don, now it makes sense.
So Don Fry Jr., what would you do on your date with Jessica?
Well, first thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna take her out for a nice steak dinner. I want to watch her eat some meat. And then...
then what?
Then I'm going to race her barefoot through the snow.
I'll take her to the hotel and give her some more meat to eat.
Oh, I knew it! Oh,
hey Don, though, man, she's young. She's like in her prime, and you know, would you be able to handle that? I mean, you're kind of
I'm kind of good looking, huh?
All right, good. I like it. All right, so Andrew Sanchez lost his fight. That sucked. I like Sanchez, but he seems to like always find a way to fucking kind of fall apart at the end. The other guy looked really good. That guy Muradov, who ran into the crowd afterwards and then told Dana White something. I don't know what he told Dana. What did he say, Ween Dog?
I have no idea.
But man, that guy looked really good. I also felt bad for Sarah McMahon because it was her versus Pena, and I'm friends with both of them. And I like Sarah. I like Juliana. So I was rooting for both. I kind of wanted a draw, to be honest. But Sarah McMahon like wins every fight in the beginning, and I almost feel like she's too nice. She doesn't need to really want to hurt the person. Like I remember when she used to have girls in mount, and then she would throw 10,000 punches, but it didn't seem very hard. And I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm trying to get the ref to stop the fight, so to overwhelm them. But she's not really trying to hurt the person in a lot of ways. And I don't know if, like, I know she's a great competitor, but she doesn't seem to have that, like, I don't know. It was heartbreaking.
Well, I'll tell you what. I thought she came into the ring looking the best she's ever looked. She looked the strongest she's ever looked. I was like, I was thinking, okay, if she doesn't win tonight, you kind of probably have to call it on the run. Right. And when she lost, I was like, if she can't win in that condition, I don't know that how much road is left for her, because
she didn't get dominated. She won the first, arguably lost the second, and then got. I mean, it was, if she would have won the third round, you almost could have said she won the fight, right? I mean, it was pretty even.
Absolutely, but at that point, I felt like it was being taken over.
Did you guys see embedded when she was working out on the airplane to Abu Dhabi?
Really?
Did you see that? She was like doing like sit-ups and squats and jumping jacks on the airplane. I'm like,
well, like I said, she crazy. She looked like she was in the best physical condition of her strongest physical condition of her career.
She looks like she's a freak. She's a silver medalist in the gold in the Olympics. I mean,
yeah.
Her, and then Pena took her down. I mean, she was gassed in third.
How about Pena calling out Nunez, saying she's ducking her? That was some Rocky III shit.
Hey, I'll tell you what, man. Juliana Pena, and I love Juliana. She's a friend. She believes it.
I don't doubt it at all.
The thing about Juliana, like, she's not like talking shit like Colby. I love Colby, but like I don't think he believes a lot of stuff he says. He's doing
right. He likes to talk shit. He's a shit talker.
And then McCorkle, like when he used to, McCorkle used to have contests for his opponents and have people like Photoshop them like with dicks in their mouths and stuff. He was just being like an asshole. Like, but Pena legitimately believes that Nunez is ducking her. And that's what makes her dangerous, is that she's not fucking around. Don Fry, what do you think? You watch that fight, McCandless? What was that?
That reminds me of the first time I ever met Mike Perry. The guy that introduced me to Mike Perry said, man, you're going to love this guy. He believes it. And I was like, what? And he's like, he believes it. I said, believes what? And he said, you'll see. And so the first time I met Mike, I was like, what's up, man? He goes, what's up, man? I'm about to win a championship. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever he said. But it was he was like, he wasn't in character. He was dead serious, man. Like, he's like, I'll beat anybody in the world. I'll shake up everybody. Don't matter who, Robbie Lawler. Like, all in all, I was like, man, this guy does believe it.
Those are the most dangerous people. Because like even like Ben Glebe thought he was going to be president. He legitimately thought he was going to be president. And those are people you can't stop. Don Fry, when you used to talk shit about people, were you being funny or did you actually believe it?
No, I was just being funny. I didn't believe any of it. Hell, it was part of
the show. I think you were saying part of the show. I think that's
out of game, you know?
By the way, we got so many emails about getting Don Fry better internet. People sent me a bunch of ways to get Fry better internet.
I love that. Let's go down there. Let's you and I. We'll drive out there to Arizona. We'll take a satellite dish. We'll take 400 yards of coax cable. We're gonna find a way to get this done,
dude. Somebody told me that like they almost crashed when he said he's gonna go downtown to get a router.
A server.
Yeah.
They said they gotta go get a new server. They said they almost crashed their car. Dude, we have like some of our fans are the funniest. Like, dude, this guy wrote me this text the other day. I have to share this because I don't even know what. You have to hold on. Let me see what this guy. He goes, it's pretty much all caps. He goes, when I heard you were on Unfiltered, I was happier than I have been in a long time. The fact that you're not known as a top three comedian or MMA host makes me fucking sick, which is okay.
You don't have to, I appreciate the support, please.
I was way behind on your talent, so I understand a little. I'm the biggest UFC fan ever, and I did just come across you about 2 years ago. I was always Ariel, Luke T, Matt and Jim, Bisbing, Anakin Florian, John Morgan. Okay. MMA junkie, Karen and Juban in that order. Like, all right, that's I was feeling really retarded that day. I might listen to Brendan Schaub like try to read on air to make me feel like a rocket scientist. There's never enough Schaub jokes from that animal McCorkle on your podcast. After a few months of listening to your podcast, it moved up my list. As about a year now, it's my number one show to listen to. Every person I forced to listen to your podcast has all thanked me for bringing it to them. Your quickness of your jokes is unfucking believable. I consider myself pretty funny. I'm always the funniest guy in the room, and you probably make me feel like Schaub. I can't wait.
Can't wait for the day to come.
You get the credit you deserve because you get about 5% of what you're getting right now. Keep on killing until you can retire with $1 billion. You've not gotten what you've earned. It might be so hard with society being so fucking stupid, you know, with Schaub having multiple sports cars and shoes that are 10 grand. Did Schaub write this?
Did I write this text? Are you sure it wasn't from me?
He goes, when he should be living in a trailer park and driving a Dodge Omni, people can't say this stupid forever. So your day will come. You make me thank you for all the times making me cry, laughing, and pissing my pants. 2021 will be yours, brother. Keep killing it. #209 for life. # fuck Brandon Schaub. So,
love Brian Callen.
Well, so the question is, at what point of that did you start masturbating? And then at what point did you finish?
I mean, it was nice, but like, I got a little bit like, it kind of reminded me a little bit of like Happy Gilmore's like Scooter McGibbons, like biggest fan who fucking drove into Happy Gilmore during the end of the,
like, right.
Yeah.
No, it was very nice. It was
wish that guy would stop stealing all my material.
It was very nice.
You own Brandon Schaub. Nobody else.
And thank you, Jason, for the kind words, man. That was very cool. What's up, people? The wait is finally over. Football is back. Look, you might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season, from game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off by wagering on win, division, and championship futures today. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So we have a girl on here, a woman, not a girl, Shaney Smash, who Shaney was a fighter. She had a couple amateur fights, I believe. Any pro fights?
Two pro fights.
Two pro fights. She was 2-0. Tried out for the Ultimate Fighter. They told her that she didn't have enough experience, even though she's a great fighter. Now she was working at the UFC gym, and she does Fight Camp, that app that like has been getting the best shape in my life. She gives the workouts. Her and like four other like bro dudes who are also like pro fighters. My wife loves her because she gives great workouts. She's hot, and she's dating Razor Rob McCullough.
She gives great what?
Workouts. You're talking to Don Fry, by the way. So we have Don Fry, John McCorkle, Ween Dog, and Greg Wilson. And Shaney's like, I want to come on the podcast. I'm like, absolutely. Shaney, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing wonderful. It's an absolute pleasure to be on here with you guys. Thank you so much for having me. I'm in the Fight Camp studio right now. I got here nice and early. I filmed 28 rounds, a boxing class, a kickboxing class. I'm going to be drinking some protein as we do this. But yeah, my day's going great. And it's even getting better now.
So Fight Camp has like saved my quarantine. If you guys don't know this, it's an app. Because I'm like, I need to get in shape. I can't leave the house because of COVID. I have a boxing, I have a bag in my gym, and I was just Googling boxing apps, and Fight Camp came up, and they give you like five or six different workouts a week. They're like anywhere from 4 to 10 rounds, and then crazy exercises during the rounds. And I'm sweating. I mean, average person probably burns, 1,000 calories per workout, at least.
I would say at least. Our workouts, we have 4 rounders, which are the shorter ones, all the way up to 10 rounders. You're definitely building or burning about 1,000 calories if you're doing a 10 rounder. It's a full body workout. Anyone who's ever done any boxing or kickboxing knows that, I mean, that's one of the toughest cardiovascular workouts that you can get. But Adam, I see you all the time. You're like up at the top of the leaderboard, and he's going up against thousands of people, which is crazy. We have these punch count trackers so that you're able to track your punches, your speed, power, and output. And Adam is freaking killing it. It's so cool. He's like in the top 5. It blows my mind.
Well, don't worry. I'm pretty sure he's cheating.
Well, no, but there are people that are cheating, though, because
Adam's got an MMA wrestling background. I mean, he's not cheating.
No, but there are people that are cheating, though. I'll tell you what, because I'll be like number 6 or 7, and I'll have like 700 punches. I'll have like 2,000 punches for the hour, and someone will have like 2,010, and they'll have 2,020, and there'll be one person with like 19,000 punches. So, yeah, you know, they're just like, they're not even. I'm like, I almost want to find that person and be like, either you're Mayweather or you're just doing this just to cheat. Like why this? But
if you do cheat, you're only cheating yourself. That's kind of my way through life. But yeah. Did you see Mike Tyson up there? Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Camp, and it's crazy. Like it's.
Yeah, but did Tyson actually go on the leaderboard ranking? Did he actually go on the ranking?
So he was doing.
Was he number one?
He was doing our sprint intervals. I don't know where I didn't look it up. I should have. I'm talking about it. But he did our sprint intervals. We put a fight camp in the Tyson Ranch, and he saw it. And he was like, I want one of those in my house. And within a day, our team was over there, put in his garage. He rearranged his whole garage, made the fight camp like the center focus. He's got his kids doing it for PE because, as we know, everything's shut down with COVID. So that's what his kids are doing, and he loves it. So it's crazy. I just seeing all that blows my mind.
You do a great job, and the trainers are super positive, and you're always making these like corny jokes and like laughing to yourself. Now, is it hard not having an audience, because you went from having like a class, like 6 or 7 people, to just you guys in the studio? Is that hard?
You know what? I think that if you ask each of the coaches, we're all going to have different answers. For me, it's really cool having people in the class. It brings the energy level up. But I was teaching classes in gyms, and my classes were getting booked out, you know, 50 people to a class. And then I started doing this, and it's a different type of focus, because you really want to focus on the user at home. So you're more speaking and performing to the camera rather than the energy in the class. So when COVID hit and we had to get everybody out of the studio, I personally kind of found it easier to focus, kind of a lot better, because, you know, you have to really get in the zone. So I like it. And it makes me push myself a lot harder too. It's just me on the stage. I don't have music. I was like, hey, cut the music. So it's just me. So I have to really tap.
Yeah. You could pick, Greg, you could pick like 80s throwback hip hop or house. Yeah,
you guys.
That's awesome.
It really is like a Peloton for guys, but with boxing.
You're at home, so you could do it. You could do it in the nude.
Anytime.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now Sean needs to lose about how much weight you got to lose. McCorkle.
Actually, last time I went to the doctor, I was down 30, man. So I want to go at least another probably 40 or 50 to get back in some kind of shape, you know, whatever. But I couldn't help but think maybe the guy that had 19,000 punches that he landed that was beating you, Adam, maybe he was, instead of hitting a bag, he was sparring with Brendan Chung.
Boom! That's full on. All right, so
how did you get the weight off? What are you doing?
Sean.
I actually have a diet that I could follow pretty closely. When I was in the UFC, I lost through a guy. It's one of the best diet guys in the world. But it's, I would say, cutting a lot of the carbs out, eating basically just chicken, eating 6 times a day instead of 2, you know, like eating chicken, broccoli, eggs, almonds, apples, stuff like that, in the right portions at the right time. And if I follow that even closely at all, the weight flies off, you know, even if it's only 50%. So when I'm really committed to it, I can lose weight at an alarming rate. Plus, there's always some HGH and other supplements involved too, whenever I start losing a lot of weight. So
now, Sean,
that's the way it is, I guess.
Now, Sean, would you be able to do these workouts?
No, I can barely, like you said, still, I'm having trouble, man, even walking up my stairs. It's, my back is really, really bad. I was going to Germany again to get that Regeneking done again before they shut the world down. So I'm waiting for it to open up. I'm going back there and blowing another 20,000 on that. But right after I did that, I was able to do a lot, but it only lasts about a year. So
now Don Fry, we have the legend Don Fry, UFC ultimate champion, UFC 8 champion. Don, you obviously are known, you are a pro boxer, pro kickboxer, pro fighter. Would you be able to do these workouts?
Oh yeah, I do it after I get done going out. I go out and wrestle a grizzly bear, and then I'll go down to the zoo and roll around the hippopotamus and crocodile, and then I come home and do the workout.
What was the last time you threw a punch?
Oh man.
All right, thanks, Don.
Okay. I think he was trying to say this morning. That's what it sounded like.
All right, so Greg, you've lost weight. You're running. Is this something you'd be interested in? A fight camp?
Oh, I got to tell you, I would love to get this thing. For me, it's just a matter of space, because we have our place is pretty cramped, especially since the pandemic. Everything has kind of moved inside, and so there's not, but I would love to, because I've always loved fight training workouts. I've done Taekwondo, I've done Muay Thai. I mean, like you said, it's such a great full body workout, and it's so much fun. It's engaging more than just me out there just running and being bored. So it's definitely something I would love to do. But for me, it's a matter of, I don't have the whole, you know, back house gym that you have there.
No, it doesn't take that much space, and it really is like having a personal trainer, because the guy's like, listen, I'm tired. I don't feel like being here. The other guy, one guy's like, I'm hungover, but I'm going to get through this. I got to look good. I mean, these guys are kind of funny. They're like, I like need abs. I got to go to the beach this week, and I want to pick up this chick. I mean, they'll just start telling you their fucking life story. Like, I feel like I like know these guys. But some of them, a lot of them are ex-fighters or had kickboxing backgrounds. Or pro fighters that had some good wean dog. Have you ever thrown a punch before?
Actually not at somebody, but I ordered one of these like boxing trainer things, like the headband with the ball and the string. I got one of those things. It's so addicting to use that thing, dude. I've become a master at that thing, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, but what if you get to a fight?
I'm actually starting a different thing called Camp Fight. And essentially we just drive kids out to the woods. We leave weapons scattered around, and say last one standing wins. That's what we do. It's a different program, but highly effective.
All right. Now I gotta say your boyfriend, by the way, your boyfriend is
it's very much like the Hunger Games. Thank you.
Yes. So Chaney's boyfriend was a legend in WBC, Razor Rob McCullough. I used to watch all his fights, and he transitioned very well. A lot of guys like
he's a woman now.
Yes, the woman, Chaney's a lesbian, and that's exactly what I meant.
This all makes so much sense.
So after he was done fighting, he got a job at the UFC gym, and he was like the head of something, marketing over there. And now you guys now are like, what does he do?
He was the global master trainer and senior director of MMA. So he flew all over the world and trained all the coaches within the UFC gym, how to teach our classes, wrote all the programming. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
And you dated like, I'd meet these guys that you would date back in the day, and they'd all have like neck beards, and they would like the guys that I'm like, how the fuck did he get her? It was one after another of like you just having like the worst taste in men. But now you and Rob, it makes sense. You guys are both good looking and both like in shape. You guys, you know, he has like 7 kids. You have 3.
Pretty bunch together for sure. And we're definitely, it's crazy because he says that I'm just like the female younger version of him. We've known each other for years and years. We worked together at UFC gym at the corporate office for years. And yeah, I mean, it's just like hanging out with your best friend. We just train and.
Do you guys have like annoying like Fitbit sex? I feel like you guys have sex. Yeah. You gotta look at
we'll
like,
have an offline conversation.
I was gonna say that was my question. I was like, so when you guys do it, who wins?
but he's a good dude. He's a good dude, and you guys are both like Orange County MMA people. Now, why isn't he training people in fight camp?
Not to say he ever will, you know. There's been some buzz around it. So you might see something. He definitely has a fight camp. We put our kids on the fight camp every single day. We have them work out. That's like, hey, you guys want to get iPad time? You got to do a 8-round workout. And he does it too. So, but not to say you'll never see him on there.
I think it's a great idea, actually.
Thank you.
Our co-founder and CEO.
I think it's a great idea. I really do. Genius.
Thank you. What's up, man? Thank you. Yes. That's Aaron, right?
It's Tommy. Aaron.
Tommy from Boston.
Boston.
Yeah, Tommy was a boxer who was like a professional boxer, made like the Olympic team back in the day, trained with Mickey Ward.
I was gonna say, were you the one they made the movie about that couldn't get off crack?
No, yeah, I was on the U.S. national team, so I didn't turn pro. I had 136 amateur fights, Olympic trials 2012, lost to Jamel Herring, who's now world champion in the Olympic trials. So.
Wow, yes, wow. He's one of the trainers over at Fight Camp. Yeah, these guys, I'm like, yeah, you do a great job, Tommy.
I still want to link up with you and come to a show really soon, man.
Thank you, man. Anytime.
All right.
Anytime. And then there was something else. So Razor Rob, you, Chaney, and then you, and then Ashley did it, right? Ashley, Evan Smith, and Carla, they're doing flight camp.
Yeah, we've got Ashley, Carla, and Felice. They all have a fight camp. They're up doing the workouts on the leaderboard. Ashley just had a surgery on her spine, so she's out for a little bit. She's doing her recovery. And then Felice just had her second knee surgery, but she just started kicking the bag again yesterday. And then Carla's using the fight camp. So it's a really fun way to kind of train with your friends. You know, Felice lives out in the middle of the country and, you know, kind of compete with each other when we can't train together. Especially
they have a mode where you could like challenge your friends now. Now, Don Fry, these are all like young millennial types. What would your fight camp be like? What would if you were having your own fight camp app, what would that be like?
Oh, shit, I'd have a bunch of beer, a bunch of naked women, you know.
People would definitely fire.
Hey, that sounds like a good
You have beer, naked women, what else?
Gotta have fire and explosions, you know, stuff to keep them on their feet, keep them moving, you know. Live crocodiles, you know, shit. Make it interesting.
I like it. I want to pitch it.
But Don, when you were getting ready for like Takayama, right? When you guys just held each other and punched each other for like 10 minutes straight or 15 minutes, best fight ever. Was that the plan?
No. I just, the guy was just so damn tall, you know? I mean, and he hit me and I stumbled and I was grabbing for something to hold on to. I wouldn't fall and I just happened to grab his head and just held on.
Shane, you gotta do like one of those, like a class like that, a Don Fry Takayama fight. You just grab the bag and punch it for 20 minutes straight.
That would definitely get your endurance up for sure.
Yes. Now, Don, do you wish there was fight camp back when you were training back in the day?
Hell no. I tried to spend as least amount of energy as possible. You know, last thing I want is the rest of the world competing against me.
Got it. All right. What about you, Sean? What was your fight camp like? It was like lots of fight camps, steroids.
Yeah, that was later on. No, always steroids. But I used to work almost solely on conditioning, and then my conditioning was like the worst part of what I did, so it was really ironic. But
is that because you got nervous?
Yeah, man, I didn't. I didn't like being in front of crowds, man. Like it, I don't know. I just hate being I would rather fight an empty, an empty arena like they're doing now, as opposed to in front of people. I would get super nervous being on TV and just being out there. And I don't know. It was really weird. Somebody told me it was actually Todd Duffy told me the way he overcame it was just by really, really hard sparring, like pretty much just fighting 50 times. In the gym before you fight, but I didn't really want to get brain damage. So, you know, like that was part of my problem, but he said, hard sparring was how he got over his cardio issues in fights, you know, cause he was just used to going at that rate or that pace. So.
Now, Shaney, are you going to have any more fights? Or are you done?
I don't want to be done. I would absolutely love to have more fights. I didn't want to be done in the first place, but I kind of made the transition of, you know, juggling 3 jobs, teaching at gyms, bartending, training all day, raising 2 kids. And then I was offered a position at the UFC gym. So I had to make that choice. And then obviously I can't do training camp, but I never said I was finished. I would absolutely love to take some sort of fight. My goal last year was to start at least doing jiu-jitsu tournaments again. As we know, you know, COVID kind of shut everything down, but I'm still training. I have time to train now. It's my job to be in shape and work out. So let's see what happens.
I love it. Okay. So how could people join Fight Camp? How could they follow you? Because also, like, the trainers are cool. They give you shout-outs. If you do their ab workout at the end, they'll give you a shout-out. But I'm still not doing it. Fuck that. After 45 minutes, I'm like...
5 minutes, Adam. Come on. You got to get that core strong.
I'm so tired. I don't even want to stretch at the end. I'm just like, come on. But how do people follow you?
So you can follow me. My Instagram IG handle is at Shaney Smash, one word. You spell my name, Shanie. Also, you can check out the Fight Camp community page on Facebook. It's really cool. Like, you can ask us questions. We're the coaches. But if you get out there and get in the community, there's about 30,000 members that are doing these classes every day, and they'll give you just sound advice. So, Janie Smash.
It's great. Honestly, like, I wasn't going to get the punch trackers because I'm like, come on. But after a while, it's like $50 a month or something. It's some kind of like, it's way less expensive than the actual gym. And you get to do it at $40 a month. You do it whatever you want. And they send you a bag. You got to fill the bag with sand. That kind of sucks. You have to go to Home Depot and get sand, but whatever. But it's completely worth it. And then they give you a bunch of mats and stuff. Now you got to, I love your workouts, but at the end you always go, you've been Shanty smashed. And you say that right when my wife walks in every time. So it sounds like I just like shot a porno or something. You know, like,
Shanty smashed too. Let's all get Shanty.
She loves getting Shanty smashed. So thank you very much. Thank you, Shanty, for coming on the podcast.
And, thanks so much for having me.
Anytime. Don, anything you want to say to Shanty?
Yeah, Darwin. Have a send more pictures.
<I'm lost. laughs> All right, take care, guys. Be good. Bye, Shanty.
Bye.
All right, that was Shanty Smash and Fight Camp.
She's pretty cool. You know, it's so funny because I keep seeing the promos for that in the Instagram feed, and you know, I love the concept. I love the idea. I didn't know you were doing it.
Nah, I've been doing it like 4 or 5 days a week. I was just like, it's. I have to, man. When you're in your house with your wife all day, and I love my wife, but like I'm used to being on the road, and then the nanny got sick. So I got to watch a 2-year-old all day. I need a half hour, 45 minutes just to fucking work out, get some kind of sweat. Otherwise I can't sleep at night.
Dude. So you're doing it in the house or do you have it out in the
garage? But it's just like, I mean, it's a half hour. It's a half hour. No. It's easy. It's an easy thing. And it's like, I look at it as part of my job, part of my work.
Yeah, no, I would too. You know, absolutely. You know, but it also doesn't look like the cheapest system in the world either.
I mean, $40 a month. Like, I was spending $200 a month at like the gym. You know.
But what about the equipment? Does that include all the equipment?
Yeah. That includes the equipment.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. It's not crazy. I mean, it's not like cheap, but it's not crazy. And you could actually do it without. You could actually just, I think they changed it, but I don't know. But anyway, so
questions we should have asked Shanty when she was
all right, so let's talk about a fight that got made today between Jake Paul and Ben Askren.
Oh, here we go.
Boxing April 17th, 18th, I think it is. I don't like this fight at all for Ben Askren.
No, this is so dumb. Like, he found the guy that's the worst at boxing to box him. Why would this happen? What is going on here?
I mean, Askren's probably going to make $1 million. And I don't think he cares about losing. He probably knows, like, he thinks he's going to win. And, but I look at Ben Askren as, like, 2-time national champion, Olympian, Bellator champion, ONE FC champion. I don't want to see him get knocked out by fucking Jake Paul. That's not what I want to see.
Weed Dog, you got to send him that little hat thing with the ball so he can just.
Yeah. It's
Don Fry, what are your thoughts? $7. Talk to me, Don Fry.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. It's kind of scary because Ben's chin is questionable. So he better work on that head movement. That's for damn sure.
Dude, this guy's been boxing for 4 years straight, nothing but boxing. I mean, Ben had surgery, he's wrestling, he does Bitcoin, he's got his own TV series on Fight Pass, he's been MMA, he's been coaching, he's got 3 kids. I mean, the other kid's got nothing to lose. And he's been doing nothing but training. But Corkle.
Man, I don't know. I may be crazy, but I can't believe that Ben Askren, having trained MMA for the past 12 years, can't beat that kid in boxing. There's a big difference between fighting Nate Robinson, who has zero experience, or the other guys he's fought who have zero experience, and some guy who's, you know, actually been training for a long time. It's easy to look good. Of all people I know, it's easy to look good against bums, you know, like my first 10 fights were a joke, most of them, you know, like the guy doesn't even belong in there. So it's easy to look great doing that. But if Askren doesn't win, I would be shocked.
See, but the thing about it is, I mean, he's an MMA fighter, but you're putting him in a situation where he can't do what comes natural to him to do. You're forcing him to be the opposite of who he is, which is, you know, punches are flying, go for the takedown, wrestle this guy around. And you take that away, and now he's got to stand there and just keep punching. I think this is a formula for disaster.
I mean, does he get paid either way? If he gets paid either way, he might as well just take him down and just beat him up.
And get the disqualified. You know, that might be one of those things that disqualifies him from getting, you know, his proper share.
Ween Dog, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I recently watched a YouTube video. It was a compilation of Ben Askren striking. And my opinion of the video after, it looked like a couple of middle school like kids fighting, basically on his end. Like, his striking is bad. It's horrible.
Garbage.
It's very bad. But, you know, Jake Paul, I feel like he has some decent power in his hands. It looks like he does a lot of weight training. So I think he could rock Ben Askren in this fight and fuck him up possibly. So I'm worried.
I mean, although the guys that train with Ben Askren, everyone at Rufus Sport is telling me Askren's going to kill him. They've seen him boxing. So if this is what they're saying. If this is what they're saying, maybe they know. I mean, when you train MMA, there are some rounds, right, Sean? You just do boxing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I do that. I did that exclusively. I would do boxing, either just boxing sparring, just kickboxing sparring, just grappling, you know, like all the time. There's no way training at Duke Rufus is that he hasn't learned how to strike some, unless he just refused to work on it at all. Like, I mean, he's been doing this a long time too. Don't forget, Ben's been fighting for a long time. So, I mean, imagine if Ben Askren fought Nate Robinson in a boxing match. I'm pretty sure he would knock him out also. I think the Paul kid is just, it's all like, he's beating up guys that are terrible, but so could anyone on this podcast. So,
you know, here's the thing though. I mean, you know, this guy versus an MMA fighter, you know, any other matchup, it shouldn't even be close, is what I'm saying. It shouldn't even be close. The MMA fighter should be able to go in there and destroy him. But he picked the one guy in the worst position to win. I just think that, I don't know. I was like, I'll tell you who's smart. Whoever picked Ben Askren to be the guy.
Ben Askren picked Ben Askren. He's the one who said, I'll
fight. But other MMA fighters also called him out. Weren't there other options?
Yeah, of course.
Right. Guys that were much better with their hands. He went with the guy that doesn't use his hands hardly at all. So, I mean, it shouldn't even be considering, like, the fact that this is at best even is garbage.
All right, so Don, he's coming off 6 months off hip surgery. How is that going to affect his training?
Oh, hell, completely. I mean, you know, not your hips, your back, you got no movement. You can't throw a decent punch, you know, because when you throw a punch, you throw it from your feet and your hips. You know, if you don't have any hip power, you're just throwing an arm punch, and there's no power in an arm punch, you know, unless you're Mike Tyson, and hell, he throws from the fucking hip too, you know?
And the kid's going to be juiced out of his mind. Like, people that I know that are training with him have told me that these kids are beyond juicing. You know, Ben Askren is like, I mean, you could tell he's never touched a steroid. I don't know. I don't like this at all. I was going to try to make another juice joke, like a juice joke, but I couldn't word it properly in my head. All right. So, BJ Penn got arrested again for a DUI. I think it's his third DUI, maybe his fourth, in Hawaii.
Talk about this last time about hiring a driver and cutting this shit out. I mean, come on.
I think the problem is it's Hawaii, so he probably got pulled over another 55 times and just they let him go.
Yeah.
BJ Penn.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
He ran into the cop that didn't want to. What do we do? How do we get BJ Penn? Because I hung out with BJ Penn. He's a nice guy. He's a warm.
BJ's a very nice guy. He's a good guy. Got a good heart. And he just basically doesn't have a good brain. But, you know, they've got to just forcing to take a damn Uber everywhere. You know, crime, that's all there is to it. You know, because BJ does a lot for the whole state of Hawaii. you know, and you lock him away, you're going to cripple that police.
I didn't think about that. He probably does like keep the economy going. I mean,
at least the bars. Listen, he's got to, he may have to be one of those guys that's going to have to sit in jail for a few days to get his head right, you know, to get him to take it seriously. Because clearly he doesn't take it seriously yet. I mean, I hate to say that. I don't want it, but I mean, three times, it's like maybe he does need to see just, you know, a week or two in jail just to remind him, hey, man, this is dangerous shit. You need to fucking cut that shit out.
Yeah. Did you like fighting in Hawaii, Don Fry?
Yeah, it was really beautiful over there. You know, good people. You know, just great countries. It's fun. You know, it's a really relaxing place.
Now, did you prefer America or Japan?
Both. You know, I Japan almost as much as America. You know, if it wasn't, if they had guns, I could live there. You know,
so
America.
If nobody has a gun over there, why would you need one?
Because there are guns there. That's a stupid question. There are guns there. Come on.
I know. So, I hear you. How many guns do you own now?
I don't have any. I don't have any. I gave them all away or sold them. You know, I'm a complete pacifist. You know, but I do believe in great guns.
McCorkle, how many guns do you have?
On Don Fry's note, I have only 20, certainly not near 50.
So he's a pacifist.
Why do you need 50 guns, Sean? I mean, are you starting a militia? 50 guns?
No, I just actually, when my dad died, thanks for bringing it up. When my dad died, I got about 20 of his. And then just over the years, I've bought them and collected them. Man, I've been shooting guns since I was 5 years old, sometimes even at the range. But yeah, no, I've Hello. Got, I don't know. I've got, you really only need a couple if you're talking about needing them. But yeah, I've probably got, I probably don't have 50. I probably have 30 or so.
Wow. And then Greg?
I have no guns, but I have, I mean, you know, I grew up in Texas. I've shot guns a lot growing up. I actually enjoy guns, but I don't own any. I mean, you know, nah.
Yeah. My wife wants to get them, but having a baby in the house and a gun, I just can't, you know, I just get,
it's not a good idea.
They grab guns all the time. They go to shooting spree, all, you know, it happens. You read the paper all the time about babies doing that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right. Of course. Of course.
That's why they had to put in metal detectors at preschools.
Of course. All right. What else we got? So we got no fights this week as far as MMA fights. I mean, there's
like, great show, guys.
But they're not. So yeah, Ben Askren. Okay, so we got the Askren leg kicks. Everyone says McGregor wasn't expecting the leg kicks, but I mean, I don't know.
Well, see, again, this comes to him not being in fight groove all the time, because leg kicks have become incredibly popular over the last year or so. Yeah. Where especially the calf kick. Before it was all those above the knee kicks, but that calf kick has become, you know, the popular tool in MMA as of recent. It's a fairly recent trend. And so, yeah, so I don't think he was in tune with what's going on, man.
100%. So now they're saying fight Darren Till, supposed to fight Marvin Vettori. That's a good fight.
That's a good fight. That's a fun fight.
I like Marvin in that fight. He's been looking amazing.
Yeah, I like him too.
And Till's a little hot and cold. I like Darren Till, but you never, I mean, Vettori just seems like he's in the zone.
Yeah, he's in like Terminator mode.
And then Robert Whittaker is supposed to fight Paul Acosta, April
7th. That's a good fight. That's a good fight too.
Yeah, Acosta, he needs to redeem himself, because that last fight against Stylebender was rough.
I don't know if Whittaker's the guy to do it against, though.
No. Whittaker.
No.
No, he looked amazing his last fight. He looked amazing.
So yeah, Whitaker looks back in a big way.
So Weendog, what do you have coming up?
Just go follow me on Twitter at the Weendog.
Also on Twitch, I noticed that you do a video where you talk about like strange deaths or something.
Well, that's on TikTok. I do like little series. Like I love the creepy, you know, history stuff and morbid stuff. So I do like little series where I talk about some events that happened in history, like, you know, just creepy shit, you know. Yeah, so follow me on TikTok at the Weendog.
No, because this is my feed. My feed is like puppy, hot girl, and then Weendog going, you want to hear how this person died? And yeah. Then it's just like the most
Yeah, I love that shit, dude.
You're that kid that would have been into the Faces of Death videos.
I love Faces of Death, man.
Exactly.
I love that
and
shit.
You would have been like, what do you mean Faces of Death? You've never seen Faces of Death? Dude, you got to spend the night at my house this weekend. I got a VHS from my uncle. That's who you would have been back in
100%, dude.
Oh, my God. All right, McCorkle, what do you have coming up?
Just collecting more guns, and that's about it, man. Like, just trying to get to 60.
60 guns. Dude, I looked at your house. You have the most amazing view. You have, like, 300 acres of nothing. You have, like, cows and shit, like sheep, and then 60 guns.
Not yet. I'm getting them.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta go to the bar and pick them up.
No, I'm thinking about you. Yeah, I'm thinking about getting a cow that my girlfriend doesn't want to kill.
Don Fry, zip zam.
Wait, you want to get a cow?
I didn't hear what he said. What did he say?
He goes, you gotta go to the bar and pick them up.
Wait, are you really trying to like raise cows for real?
I'm thinking about just getting one, yeah, because I figure one or two of the things going to happen. Either the everything's going to go on as it is, or the world's coming to an end very shortly. So I want to make sure I have a lot of milk if it comes to an end.
Yeah. Brandon Schaub got a cow because he wanted to have fresh eggs.
Right.
I can't. All right. So you're going to get. So then but your girlfriend says no.
She doesn't want a cow because we'd have to butcher it eventually or kill it, you know, to make any money or eat it. And she doesn't want to kill a cow. So, it'd be a little weird, I think, to raise a cow and then kill it to eat it, don't you think?
So, why don't you just not kill
it? It's kind of what happens every day in America.
All right. Well, we'll keep you guys updated on McCorkle's farm. Do you have any animals yet or no?
E-I-E-I-O.
Yeah, I was gonna say Sean McCorkle had a farm, and on this farm he had some guns with a here and a there. Sean McCorkle had a farm.
That went on far longer than me. The only animals I've got a. Pit bull and a $10,000 pit bull on the way. So,
oh my god,
a $10,000 pit bull.
I'm also gonna run a puppy mill. Yeah, I'm gonna run a puppy mill apparently, but yeah, wait. No, I wanted to. I called this breeder, she had like the most amazing pit bulls you've ever seen, and she goes, well, they're kind of expensive. I was like, well, I'm not worried about the price. And she told me $10,000, and I was worried about the price all of a sudden, but they're registered and everything, and supposedly you can get about $5,000 a piece on their puppies. So that's my plan, is to eventually run a puppy mill and sell as many dogs as possible before I get a cow.
Wait, why is a pit bull worth $10,000?
I don't know. I guess how much you can sell their puppies for. I don't know.
Wait, why, Don?
They can buy a helicopter. You know? Coach, they're going to tell you get $5,000 for the damn puppies. They're going to tell you everything you want to hear, so you'll buy a $10,000 doll. Lots of things to eat, too.
Don, you're
Don Fry is telling you, you're getting taken, boy.
Yeah, he's making a lot of sense. I mean, $10,000 for a pit bull? I don't know, man. I wouldn't buy the rapper pit bull for $10,000. Like, I don't understand. Like, that's a lot of money for a
pit. Yeah, but would you buy the rapper pit bull if you could sell his children for $10,000 a piece?
All right, now we're getting into some weird territory. Greg, would you buy a pit bull for $10,000?
No. Although I will tell you this, one time they were playing all this Pitbull music during one of the, I was like, man, they're at like halftime of some game we were watching. And I was like, man, they're playing a lot of Pitbull. They're playing nothing but Pitbull. And my wife goes, I hope it's because he died.
Oh, God.
That's she hates Pitbull music so much. It's her least favorite in the universe.
I can see why you guys. Okay, so you're, now is it, Sean, is it legal to raise a, to have a puppy mill? Isn't that illegal?
No.
I thought
probably no more illegal than having 60 guns.
Exactly. Try and come and enforce that law on Camp fucking Camp McCorkle.
I thought
figure if they just ticket a meth head for breaking in my pole barn, I should be able to have a puppy mill, right?
I thought dog breeding was a bad thing. People were angry about it. Like, it's a whole thing. Like, why do you always find yourself doing these sketchy occupations, Sean? Like it's always something. Just like your resume.
I don't know. I guess it's just in my heart to do sketchy things.
Like, you can't just be a promoter. You have to have pillow fights with your exes and then have it be, like, illegal.
Right.
It's always something. All right. So Greg, right. What do you have coming up?
Well, the thing that I'm excited about is the new podcast I started, Inside the Comedy Institute, where I'm interviewing great comedians about their comedic process, about how they create the material, the type of comedian they are, and their journey through stand-up comedy. Because I think other comedians, especially up-and-coming comedians, love hearing about how you want go from here to the mountaintop, and only really great comedians can share that journey. And so that's what this is about. And of course, I'm very honored that you, Adam Hunter, were my very first interview, a groundbreaking comedian in your own right. And that first episode is currently up. It's all over my social media. It's also on Spotify and anchor.fm. Look for Inside the Comedy Institute. That's the name of it. And man, the interview with you, where you share your right. First of all, I think considering the type of comedian you are who does short form jokes, when people realize the writing process that you do to get to those jokes, I think that is going to blow people's mind. And then, of course, you give people incredibly good advice about building up their career, creating their own opportunities, and of course, walking us through that journey of how you went to becoming on The Tonight Show, which is a seminal achievement for any comedian, as well as obviously achieving your goals with the first comedian to have a special produced by the UFC. So it's an incredible journey. It's an incredible interview, and I can't thank you enough. And I think everybody that's a fan of this show and a fan of comedy is going to be blown away by it.
Thank you, Greg. That was an honor. So, Fry, what do you have coming up?
I'm going to do something different. Instead of being abducted by a UFO, I'm going to abduct a UFO. I figure, you know, there's been far too many of them coming here stealing our people. So I'm going to take one of their rides and go over there and steal some of them and bring them back here and just leave them here, chop them off. In a bad neighborhood, you know, and watch them, see if they can survive.
Well, I think I know what the art cover for this podcast is going to be. you guys can watch my special on UFC Fight Pass. I'm going to be in Las Vegas February 18th to 21st, headlining the Tropicana at the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas. And this Sunday night, I'm going to be in Mesa, Arizona, doing comedy. Mesa, Arizona. It's all on Adam Comedian. And if you're on TikTok, Real Adam Hunter. Thank you guys so much. This was so much fun. Thank you, Shandy Smash. Take care, guys. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Good stuff.